We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Believe You Me podcast. As we know, we got a bunch of different co-hosts in rotation. And today, it is my great pleasure to introduce Brian Davis, a.k.a. The True Geordie, a.k.a. one of the soundest guys you'll ever meet. What's going on, True Geordie? Brian, I'll call you Brian. What's going on, Brian? How are you, mate?
It's a weird one for me, this, Mike. You know, I remember I've watched basically every UFC fight you've ever had. And I remember watching this podcast at the very start. I remember like going downstairs in the middle of the night to watch you win the title.
Well, thank you.
You know, and now I'm on your podcast. This is
Hold on a minute. For those that don't know, because we're in America, but obviously you're... Where are you in Newcastle, Brian?
I'm London right now, mate.
London. Yeah. Brian runs and has one of the biggest YouTube channels in the UK. And is it a podcast as well, Brian, or just YouTube?
Mainly podcast, but yeah, like I do a video podcast like yourself.
Yeah. So they call you the True Geordie. Just giving a little bit of an intro for the people that don't know you here. So True Geordie, what do you talk about? Mainly fight stuff or just a little bit of everything?
So I've got a regular podcast where I watched Joe Rogan when I was younger and I was like, love to do what he does, except English. So I have like lots of weird and random wonderful characters on. I had a guy on who did 23 years on death row for a crime he didn't commit. I've had people who've been abducted on. I've had celebrities like Ricky Gervais, Tyson Fury on. So wow. It goes in all different directions. But then recently... I've started a pure soccer podcast called The Kickoff and a pure fighting podcast called The Pain Game. So recently on The Pain Game, we've had Teddy Atlas, we've had Logan and Jake Paul, we've had Muhammad Ali's grandson, we've had Michael Bisping, Tony Bellew. It's been an interesting ride.
Oh, that's amazing. Tell me this. I've never met him. I've actually gone back and forth with him on Twitter a few times. Is Ricky Gervais as sound as what you think he is?
Oh. God, he's lovely.
But
weirdly, even though I've had 6'9" Tyson Fury in my studio, he was the most intimidating because it was like, you could just make me look stupid at any moment. Yeah. And I don't need help with that. So this is, it was just intellectually the most intimidating guy I've been around because you never feel like the smart one.
Yeah. And not to mention this Ricky Gervais. He's awesome. He's hilarious. He's a very smart guy and a very nice guy. Yeah, so that's nice to hear. That's always lovely to hear. Well, anyway, listen, thanks for joining us. Typically we have Harrington and Brian on. We rotate some co-hosts and whatnot. So thank you. Been wanting to do this for a long time. It is Christmas week. Are you all set for Christmas, Brian? Before we get into all the, obviously we got a lot to talk about. We had Derek Lewis, Chris Dawkins at the weekend. We had Tyron Woodley versus Jake Paul too. What an absolute fucking shit show that was. We're going to break that down. We're going to get into it. We're going to talk a lot of shit. Well, I am anyway. I don't know what you... Your thoughts. But before we get into all that, we like to have a bit of non-MMA banter. What's going on with you, Brian? Are you all set for Christmas? Shopping done? Trees up? All that good stuff?
I'm all set, Mike. It's later on in the evening in the UK. Mike's sort of afternoon. He's having probably a cup of tea today, I would imagine.
Cup of coffee, mate.
For me, mate, it's one of the best whiskies ever invented. Glenfarclas. I've just discovered this one. 21 years old, Highland single malt Scotch whiskey. and it has rich and juicy on the nose with cherries and black currants. And honestly, it's unbelievable, this thing.
Let me ask you this. Can you actually identify those flavors? Because, you know, I have a very... What's the opposite of sensitive? A blunt palate. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I can't distinguish flavors in food, in wine, in whiskey, or in anything. I just know whether it's good or bad. Can you actually pick out what was it? The elderflower, the berries, the smoky wood.
Okay, so usually I'm with you on this. I don't really, you know, I can tell one I like from one I don't like, but the you know, Scotch is Scotch usually, but this one. You can sort of get the, as it says, the raisins piled high on spice shortbread, orange jelly, and earthy Dunnage warehouse notes built. Okay, the point is...
Undertones of twattiness.
Absolutely. But in my head, I'm like,
undertones of pure snobbery. Go on, sorry,
mate. It tastes good and I'm getting fucked up, so I'm happy. It's my little celebration for being on your podcast tonight.
Well, there you go. Well, congratulations, and hopefully we get to share one in person one day.
Absolutely.
Although, and anyone that listens to this, I sound like a fucking broken record, but I always say, that's it, I'm done drinking. And I am. I woke up this morning and I'm like, that's it. That's it. I'm fucking done. And I know I say this all the time, but I'm not saying I'm never going to have a drink again, but I really got to change. Like, I'm not an alcoholic. I don't drink a lot every night, but I do wake up feeling kind of shitty most mornings. What's that?
I'm not an alcoholic, but just, you know, that when you ever say that in a sentence, it doesn't sound good.
The reason I have to say that is because that's what people think. They think, you know, because of that George St. Pierre press conference that I had one time when I came out kind of drunk. I was drunk then. I'd had a fucking heavy night in Vegas. Mm-hmm. Ever since then, everyone thinks I'm drunk all the time. That's not the issue, but I am just sick of, like, not seizing the day enough, Brian. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I've recently quit the beer. That's helped me out a lot because beer puts the weight on you. So and wine makes you depressed. So now I'm just a whiskey man. That's all.
All right, well, fuck it. Fuck it, me too. Do you ever watch Schitt's Creek? You ever see that show on Netflix?
I've heard of it. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, mate, it's hilarious. And I only know this because my wife loves it. We have to watch it all the time. There's this agent in there. One of the characters near the end of the show comes in and he's like, oh, yeah. And some woman goes, oh, you look amazing. He goes, yeah. I've quit drinking. I'm strictly wine and whiskey, man, these days. That's it. So that's it. I'm wine and fucking
that's
whiskey.
There we go.
What's the plans for Christmas, mate?
Oh, just to consume as much food as possible. I've been trying to be good, you know, as you do. I've lost a few stone in America. That's, you know, about 30 pounds.
That's a lot of weight.
Yeah, I've been boxing, which is helping because nothing makes you want to jog more than getting the hell beaten out of you in a boxing ring. So that's taught me a few things. But it's all gone to shit this December. It's all gone. And just January, I'll get back on the bike.
Yeah, well, no, that's what I was saying. And fuck it, I'm back with you. January. Why am I starting now? Christmas week. I just woke up this morning and I was just like, fuck this, I'm sick of this. And I looked in the mirror with my shirt up before I got in the shower and I'm like, yeah, definitely. And I got on the scale. Like, I was happy. I was like around 215 for a while. I got on this morning, it's like 227. So what's that in English? I don't know, but whatever.
Another stone, isn't it?
Yeah. It's ever since I went back to England a few weeks ago. I had sticky toffee pudding with everything. Do you know what I mean?
It's great, isn't it?
It's the best, mate. It's the best. Anyway, enough of that. Enough of me being a boring bastard. Harrington, come on and show yourself. It wouldn't be the Believe in Me podcast if we didn't get to make fun of Mike Harrington.
Well,
see, this is why, Brian, this is why we have to talk shit, but what is he doing?
He just got back. I will.
Okay.
I stepped away for 1 second to use the restroom while you two were having a lovely conversation about alcoholic beverages that I couldn't contribute to. So I'm very sorry, gentlemen.
Listen, Brian, you'll know this. Rule number one in podcasting or YouTube or whatever. You have a piss before you start. You know what I mean? You don't run off for a bathroom break mid-show.
Ever. That's never happened once in the history of Believe You Me, and it's the first time ever, and I'm so sorry.
Okay. Well, listen.
I've got a story about this. A little. When you get caught short, I used to be a deep-sea diver. I used to work offshore underwater, right?
Are you serious?
Yeah, and if you didn't have a piss before you got in the water, because you're supposed to remain dry underwater, which doesn't make sense, I know, but you got like a dry suit on, 3, 4, 5 hours, and you're like, oh, and I occasionally piss myself. It was like, it was just, I had no choice.
Hey,
I had no fucking choice, lads.
That's good for you because you're down deep sea diving. I've pissed myself and I've been fucking, I've been on ground level. I've been on the sea level and I've pissed myself. I wish I was joking. Long time ago. Brian, you just throw that on us like that's nothing. You used to be a fucking deep sea diver. Tell me more about that, please, because that sounds fascinating.
When I was a young lad, ironically, I was searching for job ideas on YouTube. And I seen this deep sea diving thing, and I already had a mechanical engineering background. So I was like, you know, is this as cool as fuck? They look like James Bond, this lot. They're getting paid a fortune the more I researched into it. I didn't realize, like, it's a bit like fighting. Like, what they show you is the Anthony Joshua of divers. You know what I mean? They show you the success stories. They don't show you the hard labor, the misery, the months away from family. And, and basically hanging around sweaty ass men for 12 hours a day minimum. So it was a good experience when I was in my early 20s. I did about 5 years of it. And then when I broke into YouTube, basically, that was when I was like, fuck this.
See you, mate. Adios, amigo. Well, I'm trying to catch you up because you're right. It is a lucrative business to be in. Mm-hmm. Talking of that, with just last thing on that, I was always led to believe being a deep sea diver is kind of lucrative as well. Did it pay well?
Well, if at the top end, you're talking like £1,000 to £1,500 a day at the top
right.
end. But
right.
these are guys where you see them in the saturation bells and they where they're basically pressurized underwater for like a month at a time. So they can't, like, they're basically imprisoned in this little bell with each other, and they go out and do their dives, come back to the bell, and they're spending, you know, 24 hours a day talking with that squeaky voice you get when you're underwater for that length of time.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, sounds like you're doing something a little more fun with your life these days, although I'm sure there was good days on there. Anyway, right, Harrington, let's try this again. Are you there? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm
there
here.
There he is. Hope you're well, my friend. Tee us up on the big fight of the weekend. When I say the big fight was Chris Dawkins versus Derek Lewis. But the other one, the shit show. Tee us up on that. Give us some information. We both watched it, but I'm just letting you come on the show and have a presence. Basically, well, Harrington.
That makes two of the three, because I did my best to avoid this up until the very, very end of it. You know, what I did see was there was a lot of that. The obviously the one we're talking about, Jake Paul versus Tyron Woodley, correct? You know, Tyron Woodley got slept with the giant overhand by Jake Paul, the one shot knockout that everybody's talking about. Now, I, a lot of the discussion, I don't know if you saw this, Mike, was that, you know, it was fixed, it was staged, it was whatever. Woodley took a dive. Can you explain a little bit how Jake Paul set that up and how it did look like such a clean knockout?
No, I can't do that, but I can completely shut everyone the fuck up on fixes. It's ridiculous. I don't know what you think, Brian, but anytime somebody gets beat, knocked out, something like that, these conspiracy theories start going around. There's no way Tyron Woodley's going to do that. Secondly, I mean, I've seen enough knockouts to know when one was real. That looked fucking real. The fight wasn't real. The fight was garbage. It was piss poor. It was shit. It was non-existent. The best thing that happened to Jake Paul was him actually. Let's have a look. Boom. I mean, it was just a solid shot. The kid can bang. Simple as that. He's a big, strong, young kid. Hold on. Boom. Good for. I mean, that's not a fix. What do you think, Brian?
Fight fans are emotional. And that, you know, you probably haven't felt the extent of that, Mike, because you're a beloved figure in the fight fan community, you know, although maybe back in the day a little bit.
I was going to say, mate, maybe these days, but I was public enemy number one a while ago.
Well, you're loved now, and rightly so, and they've come round to it. But unfortunately, as I've felt the wrath of them many times, if you side with one fighter over another, or something happens that fight fans don't love, they will find any way to bend logic as much as they need to so that they can justify why they weren't really wrong or that it didn't really happen. And it's pathetic, but weirdly, this MMA and boxing community are some of the... You'd think it'd be a group of, like, tough guys, but really it's the bitchiest community in sports, to be honest with you, and to a point where they'll come out with the most ridiculous shit, like... Jake Paul paid him to take a dive. And there's even videos where people are going, that's where he gives the signal.
Are you serious? Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's deluded. Oh, it's pathetic.
Just fucking deal with it. Listen, he got beat and he got soundly beat.
People hate Jake Paul. And this is in their heads some sort of win for YouTube or whatever the fuck. I don't know.
Yeah. No. It was kind of weird because I commentated the fights on Saturday night. We'll get into those in a little bit. And then as I was driving home, I was sent a link to watch the fight on my phone. Now, I'm not saying I was watching the fight whilst driving through the desert 110 miles an hour. I wasn't doing that, but it was on the phone. It was propped up. It was sound. The commentary was coming through the thing. And occasionally a little glance of Rooney. That's all it was, a little glance. But then when I got home, I watched it again. Terrible, an absolute terrible fight. Unbelievably bad. And for all the talk and the opportunity that Tyron had, and I'm not here to talk shit about Tyron Woodley. I like the guy. I respect the career that he's had. And I don't want to say anything that's going to make it awkward when I see him, because I will see him soon. But the reality is it was a fucking shit fight from both men. There was a lot of hugging involved. And I, you know, of course, the knockout was good for Jake Paul. Of course, that's what everyone wants to get. But he's lucky that he got that, because I think had that gone to a decision and that was the state of the fight, nobody wants to watch either of them two fight ever fucking again.
So similar to you, I'm actually friends with Jake. I've interviewed him many times. I've had him around my place and we've hung out and stuff like that. He's a good guy, despite what, you know, people think of him publicly. He's just playing the game beautifully here. He's got everyone talking about him. And that, unfortunately, so many fighters, especially in boxing, don't really understand that that is the main aim of the game, is to get people talking. And that's why he's exploiting boxing the way he is. But yeah, it wasn't good. I was commentating it on our own little live stream that we did. And I said, look, I love the kid. But it's not going well. You know, it ain't the improvements that I want to see from him, basic boxing skills like, using your jab, using your footwork and to regain center, basically not overreacting when the other guy is coming in to trade with you. So, and both men, whenever one would do anything, they'd overreact and they'd get out of the pocket. And instead of like pro boxers would, which is slip and counter and not get nervous. And I think they both showed that they're, you know, not high level guys. But this is the thing, I wouldn't expect Jake to be a high level guy. He's fucking, he's had four fights before this. And I think he's probably raced up the talent roster a bit too quickly. Like I always thought Woodley, it's a bit of a jump that, considering the last guy you fought was a fucking basketball player and a guy who has no hands. Yeah.
Zero hands.
Yeah, absolutely. Ben Askren, I won £14,000 on the Ben Askren fight. Everyone thought I was mental backing him over a MMA guy, but I knew. I remember. So, it's difficult, but he got out of jail, and you're 1,000,000% right. That knockout, showing the power, because this show only goes on if people care and people think it's worth watching. So he's bought himself some time with that. And to be honest, I hear his coaches talking, BJ Flores, and he does seem to know a lot. He obviously fought like Tony Bellew. He fought at a high level of cruiserweight. But there's things about his game that I just think need a lot of work. And I've heard you talk about how sometimes the rounds in sparring don't really translate for quite a while in the ring. And maybe it's going to take a while before we... But the thing about Jake is he's got power. And for that reason, whether it be Nate Diaz next, which looks likely, people are going to care. I mean, that fight next year against Nate Diaz, after he's had his last one against Poirier, will probably be the biggest fight of 2022. As bad as Jake might have looked, that is mental.
Yeah, no, it is mental. And to your point, I mean, listen, it was the saving grace, the knockout power, and that's what people want to see. People want to see finishes, right? For whatever reason, it's a bloodthirsty sport, whatever you want to call it. It's the finishes. It's that bit of violence right at the end. Yes, everybody appreciates the skill, and I do, of course, and I admire the skill that goes into delivering the knockout blow. But people, I'm talking about the masses at large. You know, they want to see someone face down on the canvas. So Saturday night, that's what they got. They paid for what they wanted to see, and they all left kind of happy. Tyron Woodley, I think Tyron needs to stop now. I think he needs to hang it up. I think he earned a lot of money. Go on, Brian.
On the boxing thing, like coming at it from an MMA angle, when we're used to seeing, you know, a lot of high-level fighters all throughout a card, as you know more than anyone, in boxing, I sat and watched Derek Chisora fight Parker earlier on in that night. It wasn't a spectacle full of great skill and amazing athleticism. It was two guys, you know, grueling it out. And at times, even for supposedly high-level heavyweights, it didn't look great. And then you've got Anthony Joshua, who basically has made a career out of often not having great performances, but saving it with that knockout. So I feel like the standards in boxing are a lot lower in MMA, and that's why Jay can capitalize on this a lot.
Oh, no, well, he certainly can capitalize on it. And after that performance, you know, I mean, after beating Tyron Woodley now, that chapter is closed. It'll be interesting to see who he gets next. I feel like he's still angling for that Tommy Fury fight because he does keep on mentioning him. And if he wouldn't mention him if he didn't want to fight, you know, and he probably sees that as the next logical step, which it was initially. It is what it is. He is a smart kid. You know, young man, he's a smart man. He's playing the game well. He's exploiting it, like you said, perfectly. He's making tons of money, and he made Tyron Woodley tons of money. Now that he knocked him out, I'm kind of curious to see him fight again. But if that had ended,
imagine Diaz. Nate Diaz is a hero in MMA. People love him, idolize him. People equally hate Jake Paul. All those people who love Diaz hate Jake Paul.
Well, Woodley got a massive chair Saturday night as well, which was curious. I didn't understand. It's the Jake Paul show, but he got fucking booed, if I'm not mistaken.
Who, Jake Paul did?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But this is the thing, is like he's the kind of guy, a bit like Mayweather, he understands it doesn't matter whether they're cheering or booing as long as they're reacting. And I think if Nate Diaz versus Jake Paul gets made, which I fully expect it to happen, he could break people's hearts out there, because if they were pissed about Woodley losing the way he did, imagine Nate Diaz gets smoked by Jake Paul. The Disney Channel boy beats fucking the gangster. It would break hearts.
Yeah, no, it would break a lot of people's hearts, and it'd piss me fucking right off. I'd have to be coming out of retirement to fucking deal with this kid. You know what I mean? Fuck this! I'm like, what is going on? He called out. Who did he call? He called out Masvidal. He called out Nate Diaz, and I think there was a third one as well. I forget. It's smart.
It was Diaz, Usman, Masvidal, and McGregor.
Well, Usman would handle him. I think I think McGregor would have his hands full simply because of the size. Do you know what I mean?
We've never seen McGregor land a single punch in those boxing gloves the way Jake Paul did on Woodley. Not that kind of power.
Yeah,
it didn't translate.
No, you're absolutely right. But for Jake, they're smart call-outs because none of them are going to happen. Nate Diaz potential. And I think
interestingly, you got Nate Diaz one fight left on his contract.
Yep.
McGregor two. Yeah. So those two could happen.
Oh, no, they could. I doubt they will. But I think Nate Diaz will. I don't think McGregor's going to happen. That's what I mean. I think Nate Diaz
with that leg injury, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes, fuck this, taking these leg kicks, I'm off the boxing. Yeah.
Well, that's what I said a while ago, actually. You take away the wrestling side of things. You take away all the kicking and whatnot, because we don't know how he's going to heal. Hopefully, he comes back 100%, but you never know. You know, there's always complications. But Nate Diaz could well happen. But, and you're right, I hate to say it, he's a bigger guy. He's more explosive than Nate Diaz as well. Nate's a great fighter, and he's got that dog in him, and he's got that spirit, but he's not as explosive. Do you know what I mean? As you said.
Mate, it'll ruin MMA dreams.
Never going on fucking YouTube or online ever again, or on Twitter. Fucking hell. Listen. Paul's being smart. He's picking off these guys. No disrespect to Woodley. He's at the end of his career. Woodley's coming out and saying, listen, if some of the excuses weren't too good. He said, I just dropped my hand for a second. And if he would have dropped his hand, I would have knocked him out. I said, yeah, but you didn't knock him out. He said, I was winning the fight. I said, I don't think you were. Who do you think was winning the fight up until that point? Because I didn't watch it.
I actually had stopped scoring it at that point because it was such a bad fight to watch.
It was scoreable. From
a Jake Paul, you know, I'm a mate of his, and I want him to do well.
Yeah,
I think it's great what he's doing, and I love the fact that I love people who want to prove people wrong, and the fact that this kid's been counted out from day one, I enjoy that. But yeah, you're completely right. That knockout saved that stardom that he's been hanging on to, and now gives him another chance to fight. But I thought it was even. I didn't think either of them looked good. But think of this. If you were to put Tyron Woodley in a boxing match against Nate Diaz or Conor McGregor, you probably wouldn't. I think you'd think Woodley hits harder than both of them in the MMA game, especially.
Probably does. I would say so. When it comes to one punch power, yeah, you would think so. The smart money, the smart bet would be on Woodley. Problem with Woodley,
he couldn't hurt Jake, really. Like, couldn't. He wobbled him a bit in the first fight, but it was nowhere near enough to put him away. So if he can't,
No. But the problem with fucking Tyron Woodley, and I say this all the time, in the sport like boxing, where all you've got to do is throw punches, he doesn't throw fucking punches. That's a problem. That's a problem. Do you know what I mean? He doesn't set anything up.
There's no jabbing. It's just hit and hope, one big punch.
Diaz would, McGregor would. They might lose, but they'd fucking throw. They'd fight. They'd turn up.
And the press conferences. Imagine Jake Paul and Diaz or McGregor. They would hate each other. It'd be beautiful.
It would be quite the spectacle, but still, there we go. Matt Masvidal would beat him. Nate Diaz, we'll see what happens next year, because that fight probably will happen. Talking about Diaz versus Poirier, what do you know about that, Harrington? I mean, what did Diaz say about that?
Well, Diaz popped up first on Twitter, responding to Dustin saying, you know, they didn't want to pay for you. Sucks. You're a loser. And that seemed to put it to bed. But Dana White was asked about it at the press conference after the fight. And he said, look, if the fans want it, if Dustin wants it and Nate wants it, we're down to book it. Ariel Helwani came out and said both men are very serious about it and are willing to jump on the card as soon as the January pay-per-view.
Wow. Wow. Okay. All right. Well, that'll be a great fight. I mean, it sounds like Diaz just wants to fight ASAP to get out of his contract so he can go chase that Jake Paul fight. Because why wouldn't you want to do that? That's going to be a massive payday. Yes, Harrington.
Just another clarification on that. So the UFC is allowed to extend his contract by 6 months because he passed up the Khamzat fight. Yep. But it doesn't. They didn't add a number of fights on there. So it just means more time that he would be on the contract.
If he fights in January in Anaheim, then he's free to go. Anyway, any more thoughts on that before we move on, Brian?
I think Diaz will make a fucking fortune with Jake Paul. Simple as, really.
No, exactly.
I think that fight could do close to 2 million pay-per-view buys, actually. It would be huge.
Do you know what? You know what? You never know. Do we know what Jake Paul, Tyron Woodley won, got? Harrington, do you know that? Or Brian?
About 500,000, mate.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, it wasn't, but Woodley wasn't the great dance partner, whereas actually Ben did a great job of hyping the fight up, and that got them over the million mark, allegedly.
Well, did it really get out of town?
According to Triller, which we can only,
Okay.
We take that with a pinch.
According to fucking Triller, that's a pinch of salt. That's a shovel fucking load of salt, never mind a pinch. Fucking hell. A wheelbarrow full of salt, you're going to take it with for that. All right. Harrington?
Real quick before we move on from Nate Diaz, did you by any chance see him at the weekend have one of the coolest performances I've ever seen?
I did. You must have saw it, Brian. He's doing the rounds. Dana White posted it on his Instagram. It was fucking awesome. So he's walking through. I don't know what happened. They were all there getting into fights. Who else was it? Masvidal was getting into a scrap with somebody or there was some kind of altercation.
Some TikTok kid pushed Masvidal in the back, apparently, and Masvidal went fucking mental. Yeah.
Masvidal tried to get him security to hold him back.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Masvidal don't give a fuck. That's what he's like. I've been on the receiving end. Let's have a look at Diaz here. So he's walking through, and then Diaz does the old flinch. I mean, that's fucking hilarious. I have never seen a pint of beer make such a fucking splash. That must have been like 4 or 5 beers, like a tray of beers or something. It was a big splash.
Yeah, so he got a ton of beer all over him. A lot of people were saying that was either AJ McKee or Anthony Pretty Boy Taylor, both guys who were talking a lot of shit to Diaz and the whole Diaz army at the weigh-ins. Turns out it was this 2-6 MMA fighter who's now begging Dana White to sign him for one fight so that he can knock Nate Diaz out.
Oh, that's what this is, because I saw something about that. All right, okay. Well, anyway, there it is. Jake Paul continues. The show goes on. They're all making money. Good for them. God bless them. All right, listen. Unlike Harrington, I do like to trim my downstairs area, my private parts, the balls. You got to trim it, okay? Harrington, you don't. But listen, if you did, you would know that the Manscaped, right, has redesigned the electric trimmer, because Manscaped has spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball trimmer ever created. It is the Lawnmower 4.0, the fourth generation trimmer. Features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to the advanced skin-safe technology. Listen. All bullshit aside, you're going to be able to trim your downstairs area without hurting yourself, without cutting yourself, without nicking yourself. Use it on your face if you want as well. Use it on your arms. Use it on your back. Get that hair off the fat, flabby parts of your back, Harrington. It is waterproof. If you want to do it in the shower, you can do that. It's got an LED light. It's got a 7,000 RPM quiet stroke technology motor. I mean, come on. This is everything you want, Harrington. Next time I see you, I want you clean as a baby's bum.
Well, I'll tell you this. The biggest thing for me about my Manscaped is the charging stand, because it looks me in the eyes every time I come out of the shower. I see it and it's like, all right, is it time to take a trim? And you know what? That is the one part of me that is taken care of and is groomed, right?
Well, good.
It's my downstairs. And it's only because that Manscaped charger sits next to my sink where my toothbrush is and stares me in the eyes, says, hey, are you getting this done today?
Are you trimming your balls today? Are you using me to go to Harrington's PP and trim the hair? That is not a thought I want. Certainly Christmas week. Why would you do that to me? Listen, everybody, you need to trim. You need to groom. You need to take care of yourself. And you want to do it without injuring yourself. You want to go to manscaped.com and use the code BISPING20. You get 20% off and free shipping. Your balls will thank you. Your significant other will thank you. You will also thank yourself when you step out of the shower. You catch yourself in the mirror. You're naked, but you're like, oh, look at that. Smooth as a groove. Manscaped.com. BISPING20 is the code. Your balls will thank you. Okay, where were we? Should we talk about some real fights? Some proper fights? Some fucking proper heavyweight action at the weekend. Derek the Black Beast Lewis taking on Chris Dawkins. Did you catch this one, Brian?
I did, mate. Intimidating man, this Derek fella. It's he just brutalizes people, doesn't he? I mean, the power he has. I don't know if he does cardio. I don't think he needs it. He just turns up and fucks people up.
He told me he only trains for 30 minutes. Now, I'm assuming that has changed. But a few years ago, I think one of the fights when I used to do more of the desk, well, back in the olden times where we'd be in the fucking arena and there'd be fans. Yeah. Prior to all this bullshit, he came up to the Fox Sports desk and we had a little chat, you know, and he said, yeah, I train. I said, how often do you train? He said, oh, about 30 minutes. I went, what, a session? He's like, no, I do like one session about 30 minutes a day. I'm like, get out of here, you're joking. He's like, yeah, no, that's it. He's like, how long do you train for? I said, some of my sessions might be 2 hours. And he's like, get out of here, man. You do 2 hours a day? I said, I do that sometimes two or three times in a fucking day. They're not always 2 hours. And he was mind blown at that. And I couldn't tell if he was joking or not. Something leads me to believe that he's telling the fucking truth.
This guy, on the one hand, it's great and it's fun. But on the other hand, it's like, it's probably not what the UFC want as their example of a top-tier athlete. But unfortunately, that's what they've got. And they've got a guy who is the perfect acid test for if you're good enough to fight for a title. Like, you know, I don't think he's ever going to be quite taking it that seriously to even win a title. I heard he even said, I would only fight for a title if they made it 3 rounds.
Yeah, that's right.
Fuck with it.
Yeah, that's what he said.
I'd love to see Aspinall fight him in the near future, because I think Aspinall can win, and I really think he's going to be a title contender. But also, if he beats him, it's a real statement. It's like, wow, you just beat a guy who and I think he could, because he's got that all-round game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was talking to Chris Dawkins last weekend as I was doing the fighter meeting with him. I took a screenshot and I sent it to Tom. I said, he's saying good things about you, Tom. He said, oh, no, Chris is a great guy. I feared for Chris Dawkins in that fight against Lewis because, yes, Chris Dawkins, there's a lot of similarities to Tom Aspinall. They're big guys. They're both cruising through the heavyweight division. They're getting wins. They're athletic. They're fast. They have high output, all that stuff. But I feared
for him. His game plan, what was it?
If Derek Lewis, and this sounds weird to say for such a beast of a man, but if he will walk forward, because he was a little intimidated by Cyril Garne, he was a little caught up in the moment, the spotlight, the crowd, the fans, the whole town pressure, it all got to him and he never showed up. But if he will go forward and he can back you up against that fence and then just unload with a barrage of shots, you're fucked. Do you know what I mean? Because there's not many people that have the punching power of a Derek Lewis. Maybe a Francis Ngannou, but there's not many people on the roster that can match him. And if he does that, which is exactly what he did to Chris Dawkins, it's only a matter of time before you hit the deck. You cannot keep taking punches of that level of significance.
Chris Dawkins didn't have an answer for it, though. He wasn't, you know, throwing body shots. He wasn't, you know, using leg kicks. He wasn't circling out. Once he was getting closed down towards the cage, he wasn't getting out of there quick enough, and he was getting caught. And as you see, he throws those straight punches to try and back him up. But eventually that took its toll and he got cornered, didn't he?
And yeah. No, it's It was another vintage Derrick Lewis performance, to be honest. I thought he was awesome. Then he takes out his groin guard, his cup, throws that into the fucking audience. I was like, what is it? Because I knew I was going in to interview him. I'm like, yes. I'm like, come on, this is going to be fun now. And I thought he was going to say, because I said, so why did he take off your groin guard? Is that because, what did he say now? I'm not sure. What did he say, Harrington? Did you catch it? I should know. I fucking had the conversation. Yeah, it's hard though. So, by the way, just FYI, a little disclaimer. It's hard because you have a producer in your ear. So when you ask a question, they're like telling you other stuff, and you
don't always catch when that happens.
It's fucking annoying, but they're doing the job, I guess. Sometimes you're like, oh, I'm trying to listen. I'm trying to listen. Yeah. Go on, Harrington.
Producer's got to produce, man.
Shut the fuck up.
what he's
I agree.
Hey.
So what he said was, he said, you know, hopefully that guy takes it, he's going to turn it into an NFT on his own and he's going to make some money off of it.
Oh, yeah. No, that's right. But I got to be honest, it takes a special kind of man to, you know, like a certain piece of souvenir you might clamor to get it. You know, somebody like in baseball, you see them catch the balls and stuff like that. I don't know if I'm diving in to get someone's fucking groin guard. What about you, Brian?
To be honest, though, I've got a bit of a wall of fame there. Right? I've got
that'd be brilliant.
I've got signed gloves from Fury and that. So I put Derrick Lewis's bollock cup up there and be like, fuck it.
That's the piece of resistance.
Yeah. But then this guy, he's not normal, is he? Like, I mean, after he beat the hell out of Travis Brown, he's like, we're running around, he's fine as that. Like, mate, you just beat the fuck out of her fella. Come on. Have a little bit.
Oh, I know.
You know, I know. Who are Travis Brown?
Oh,
honestly.
God. He's
he
awesome.
Beat the fuck out of my last boyfriend, so I guess it works.
Oh, Brendan Sharp.
Yeah.
Okay. No, but Derrick Lewis is awesome. I love him. He's such a fucking character. Yeah. I love what he brings to the sport, and I even love, like, he's kind of... I think it's kind of a facade, you know what I mean? They did this front that he puts forward that he doesn't train and all the rest of it. Of course he takes it fucking seriously. Do you know what I mean? He looked great Saturday night. Unreal. As you say, it's kind of a litmus test if someone's ready for that next step. Unfortunately for Chris Dawkins, he's not just yet. You know, Tom Aspinall, he's fighting in March in London, opponent to be confirmed. I mean, I know who he is, but he's asked me not to say anything, but he doesn't want to step up.
He's very clever in how he's pacing his career out, and I think he's the best chance we have of having a title holder since you in the UK. He's got it all. He's impressive. Yep.
No, totally agree. Totally. I do believe he has a really, really strong shot. Problem is Cyril Garn, I think, in my opinion, and no disrespect to Francis, and I hope he doesn't hear this because there's someone that you don't want on your wrong side, but I think Cyril beats him. I just sheerly, purely because of the athleticism. And for Tom Aspinall, because of Cyril Garn, he's one of the few guys that can move like Tom, that can match that speed and that finesse that not many heavyweights have.
Cyril Garn and Tom Aspinall are like the new generation version of Velasquez versus Dos Santos. It's that, like, this is the two new young guys who seem to have evolved and have the all of the skill sets. So, I mean, that would be an amazing fight, but... And Garnu is always just one punch away, isn't he? That's the thing.
That's it.
And they've trained before, and that's going to make it interesting.
It's the equalizer, because you can never count out somebody like that, because literally, you know, Derrick Lewis hits hard. Francis Ngannou's on another level. I mean, they said, didn't they? It's like a Ford Cortina or something fucking hitting you in the face at 60 miles an hour. How the fuck they measure that, I don't know. And I will never know if it's true or not. But we have seen people fall asleep many, many times. Harrington, what else have we got? Co-main event, obviously we had Stephen Wonderboy Thompson taking on Bilal Muhammad. Shutout performance for Bilal Muhammad. Not really much to discuss there, really, because it was just so one-sided, if you will. Bilal Muhammad out-wrestled him, controlled him. Great performance. Got the job done. Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, love that guy. One of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. Had such a great career, but I think the reality is the door on title aspirations is probably closed now. What do you think?
Yeah, he's one of the... I think he deserves a Hall of Fame spot at some point. You know, I think he's had a great career. You know, we talked about Woodley earlier. He really pushed Woodley to the bitter end for a title at one point, but it ain't there anymore. But if he wants to keep going, he's not taking so much punishment that I think he shouldn't be able to keep fighting if he wants to. There's still fights there that could be entertaining, but that wasn't an entertaining fight for me. That's the only criticism I would say, is if you're trying to move up the ranks, the way he wrestled him, it wasn't like he got him down and did unbelievable damage. And that would be my only criticism, because he's trying to go for that title shot, and I'm looking at him thinking, anything you can do, Usman will do better. That's my worry.
Yeah, no. And that sounds a bit harsh on Bilal, but I think it's a fair assessment, to be frank. Because I said to him in the octagon, I forget what I said now, who do you want next or whatever? And he calls out Usman, which, fair enough. You got to call your shot. You've just had a big win, and prior to that, he beat Damian Maia. So he's climbing up the rankings. I'm not sure what he is. He might be like number six now or something. So he's getting up there. So he calls his shot. He's got the microphone in front of him. He's on TV. Fair play. But when he said Usman, I said, okay, now assuming the Usman fight doesn't happen, who else do you want to call out? Because there's no way that's going to happen just yet. I don't feel, even though he's chipping away and he's beating people, I just don't think the demand from the public is going to be there. And it's based on, as you mentioned, the kind of the style that he beat him in,
Yeah, and obviously that really does matter. Like, they want to put on entertaining fights. And for that reason, I think our guy from the UK, the welterweight, who's supposed to be fighting Usman next, what's his name again?
Hold on. Leon Edwards.
Leon Edwards.
Oh, yeah, shit, Leon.
Yeah. For the same reason, Leon, I've just forgotten his name. And for the same reason, he's had to
I'm like, who is this person you speak of? This welterweight.
Exactly. He's had to wait a long time.
I had no idea.
He's had to wait a long time to get a title fight because of the way he wins fights. And that really does matter in MMA. So I wouldn't hold my breath if I was him. You know what I mean? What about Gilbert Burns, maybe? Because that fight with him and Chimaev isn't happening. That could really prove a point.
Well, what have you heard about Burns and Chimaev?
Well, I heard it wasn't happening, but I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, no. I hope you're wrong as well. I heard it was happening. I heard that Chimaev was going to fight Burns. I heard they had something else for Leon Edwards as well. In fact, that's what Dana White said at one of the press conferences. He said, listen, we've got something in mind for Burns, and we've got something in mind for Usman. I think Usman just needs to step up and fight fucking Israel Adesanya. I know they're both from fucking Nigeria, right? So fucking what? So what? I don't care. I don't know how many people live in Nigeria. I'm going to guess 75 million. Harrington, look that up, please. 75 million. If Adesanya continues to lap everybody, and then certainly if he beats Robert Whittaker, he needs fresh meat. He tried to go up and fight Glover. No, not Glover, Yan. They failed there. If Kamaru continues to win, come on, put a super fight on, make a ton of money, all be happy.
Usman seems to want to go down as one of the greats, and I think he's well on his way, whether he takes that fight or not.
206 million, thank you, Harrington.
But GSP in his prime didn't move up and fight Silva in his prime. We didn't get that. And if Usman goes up and fights Adesanya in their prime and wins, That kind of makes you pound for pound best ever, in my opinion.
100%. And if he continues to take out people at welterweight, and who else is there? It's probably Leon Edwards. There's Chimaev waiting in the wings, but it's not time yet. I think he needs a couple more fights. But still, there you go. We're going off topic. Harrington, come on. Tee us up on something good, something sexy, something interesting.
All right. I mean, there was
no pressure.
There was so much from that card on Saturday night. I mean, specifically, Cub Swanson picking up a performance of the night bonus with his first round stoppage of Darren Elkins. I mean, talk us through your buddy from UFC gym Costa Mesa getting the finish.
He was fucking unbelievable. He was unbelievable. I'm not sure how old Cub is. I think he's like 38, something like that. He feels like he should be 50 because he's been around forever. Right. And fuck me, what a performance. So explosive. He looks like a killer. He looked like a man in his prime and a man on an absolute mission on Saturday night. And against Darren Elkins, he's 38. And against Darren Elkins is a tough son of a bitch. He's not as explosive. He's not as flashy. He's not as grindy. But that son of a bitch will fight tooth and nail until someone fucking dies. And he went out there and stopped him in style.
Yeah. I remember Cub for years and years of fighting, and I kind of feel sorry that he'd never quite won the title. because he always seemed right around that. But he reminded me of one of our countrymen, mate, of Prince Nassim Hamed. The way he was sort of leaving his chin out and just throwing from the hip, so much like Nassim back in the day, you know, just constantly throwing and his balance was unbelievable considering.
Yeah, no, he was like a cat. He was super impressive. Really was. You know, certainly coming off the back of his last one where he lost to Giga Chikadze off the first kick pretty much in the first round. That's annoying. But Cub's just a fucking great guy, man. He's just such a great guy. And he is a, you know, by all accounts, when he was younger, he was a bit of a wild man. To see him now mature and grown up, and he's got his wife and he's got his three children in the Oxford. It's beautiful, man. It really is to see. And you know, it's funny, you see these guys change over the years. Like, I used to be a fucking loudmouth dickhead. I'm still a loudmouth dickhead. But I'm a little bit less of the dickhead. I'm still loudmouth, a little bit, you know. People grow up and they mature before your very eyes. How old are you, Brian?
I'm 34, mate.
34, yeah. Son of a bitch.
I think it's amazing, especially though, that weight class, to see people like, I don't know, like the lower weights, like Aldo and Cub Swanson, maintaining their fight level when, you know, a lot of it down that is reflexes, you know what I mean? And reflexes go. So that is, it's impressive, really impressive.
Yeah, 38 years old, as you say, because it does, they're the first things to go, the speed and the reflexes. And that those weight classes, they're so important. Not so much as you're getting heavier. The big old boys, they can go to 45, you know what I mean? Because it doesn't matter as much. All right, Harrington, before we move on to some other news in the world, is there anything else worth mentioning? Oh, Amanda Lemos, I'm not sure if you saw this one, Brian. In fact, tell me this, because being a UFC fan, in England, in the UK, or in Europe for that matter, it's fucking difficult. What is that? How do you do it? Do you stay up? Do you watch it on a Sunday? Because like for me, I used to, if it was a big one, if it was Anderson Silva fighting, I remember so many times I stayed up to watch him fight and it'd be 5 a.m, I'd be fucking exhausted. And then he'd knock someone out in like the first kick that he threw and I'd be so pissed off and I'd go to bed and my wife would be like, so how did it go? I'm never fucking doing that again. I've stayed up all night. I'm going to be exhausted tomorrow and it lasted 30 seconds. But how do you do it? How do you consume the UFC?
I'm a bit of a casual, which I've had a lot of stick for in the past, but you know, hey. I'm a proud fight casual. I've got a lot of things in my life. What can I say, you know?
Exactly.
They don't like me for having a personal life, Mike. It's hard to bear.
Fucking hell.
But I tend to stay up for like the big fights because we do a live show where we do like a watch along, much like the Fight Companion sort of thing.
Yep.
On Twitch. And but if it's lesser fights, which you know, don't need me to do a video immediately, I'll watch them the next day. So I didn't see this one you're on about.
Yeah.
But I have the UFC Fight Pass, so I tend to just catch as many as I can on there.
Yeah, well, Angela Hill, she's come up many times on the wrong side of the scorecards. In fights that she felt she should have won, in fights that I think she should have won. Before we move on, I just want to say, I thought she won Saturday night, and the fight against Amanda Lemos was fucking incredible. It really was. What a great fight. Angela Hill almost got knocked out of the first front kick to the face. She was definitely very hurt, but came back. Solid fight. I thought she won, but whatever, it is what it is. All right, Harrington, what have you got, buddy?
One other thing, Justin Taffa became the first man ever to miss the heavyweight limit.
Wow. I mean,
yeah, just 267. He was done cutting weight, got on the scale, said, all right, I'm giving up 20% of my purse as a heavyweight. Did get the KO victory, though.
267.
Why have a limit, though?
Well, that is a good question, and I have no idea, because there used to be a super heavyweight division, not in the UFC, but in some other organizations. But a pound. I mean, that's just the height of laziness. I mean, I don't want to upset this man either, because his fucking legs are gigantic. He's a big man, but and he hits like a motherfucker. But a pound, 20% of your purse, right? Regardless of what you're fighting for, that's your purse. You want to maintain as much of that as possible. He could have easily gone and lost a pound. Come on, man.
They should let you go to 300 pounds, in my opinion. Like some of these NFL guys who are the peak athletes, amazing, like, they're 300-pound guys sprinting up and down that field. Why not allow that? You know what I mean? I remember Brock Lesnar having to make 265, and a lot of people were like, was he really making 265? The motherfucker didn't look Mark Hunt's weight.
No.
You know what I mean?
No. I mean, you follow boxing more than I do. I'm all in on the MMA side of things. What is some of the heaviest boxers? What are they? Is it 265 for boxing?
I reckon,
it's not, is it?
I reckon Fury must be one of the heaviest at about 19 and a half stone. So that's like Yeah, like around about
280 almost. Yeah,
yeah, 265 is about that actually. But if you want to come in heavier, I don't. If it's on you, isn't it? If you're not fit enough, but you get the guy out there in the first round, imagine some of the monsters we'd see in the UFC, 300-pound beast.
Oh my God! Well, he came in. He missed weight, as we said, and he knocked his opponent out. Who was it? Harry Hunter, I think he was fighting. This is how powerful the guy is, because Justin Taffer throws a head kick. He blocks it with two hands, two arms, four arms. There, he blocks the head kick, but the force of it still got through and fucking put him down and almost unconscious. So yeah, big strong motherfucker is Justin Taffer. All right, it's Christmas week. You're looking for something special for that someone special in your life? Well, you need to go to jamesallen.com, the fastest growing online retailer of engagement rings and diamond jewelry. It allows customers to easily design and order engagement rings and other fine jewelry entirely online through its advanced technology, including an augmented reality ring try-on app and proprietary 360-degree diamond display technology that shows what each actual diamond looks like from every single angle. You can be sure that when you order from jamesallen.com, you get in the right fit, you get it in the right look, and it is a true representation of what you see online, because when you click on there, so what you're going to get in real life, because with their technology you can try the thing on. Harrington, I know you've been looking at the website. Anything that tickles your fancy?
Yeah, I mean, these diamond tennis bracelets look absolutely incredible. And, you know, with the lab created diamonds, you know, you're saving 30%,
which is still a diamond.
Yes, it's still a diamond. It just,
but it's created in a lab.
Cool. Nobody had to like break their hands digging for it. Awesome.
Nobody died.
Yeah. This is incredible. Nope. And you can get 30% off of these things just by saying, hey, I'm going to go the ethical route. That's awesome.
Well, yeah, you're going to save 30% on the lab created diamonds. If you want to spend the extra money, you can get obviously proper, like, you know, old school diamonds from the ground. But guess what? When you go to jamesallen.com and you use the promo code BYM30, you're then going to save an extra 30% on your order. So listen, if you're looking for something special, it's not too late. Go to jamesallen.com, promo code BYM30. That is going to save you a massive 30% off your order. Harrington, over to you. What have you got? Come on, give us something good.
I got a pretty juicy one. A friend of the show, the bad guy.
Chael
P. Sonnen.
Oh my God, I can't believe I almost fucking forgot this. I'll let you set it up. I've seen it. I've researched it. I've looked at it. I'm sure you have as well, Mr. True Geordie. But Harrington, before we discuss, give us the lowdown.
All right, these are the facts as I know them. The Las Vegas Police Department issued 5 summons for battery to Chael P. Sonnen, a.k.a. the bad guy, for an incident that happened at the Four Seasons in Las Vegas over the
weekend. It wasn't the Four Seasons, it was the Luxor, from what I'm reading now on MMA Fighting.
Every article.
This is a big change. Four Seasons, beautiful. Luxor, absolute fucking shithole. Never stay there. Never stay there. We had to leave. We had to leave. But anyway, Harrington, go on. Sorry, mate. Going off on a tangent there.
Nope.
No offense. First time I went there, it's got pyramids. It's Egyptian. My wife loves Egyptian stuff. I said, oh, stay in Luxor. Ugh. Horrible. Continue.
That's a place you visit. You don't stay there. The only thing I have on this is there was a video of Chael being, you know, walked out by the police. Obviously, the police intervened. He was detained. From the video I saw, it looked like his shirt was off. And, they were just escorting him out of the hotel. As I said, he was not detained, but he was issued 5 summons for battery for the incident.
So obviously me and Brian here, we're English. Harrington, just come on, and Brian McKay as well. Misdemeanors. Just so for obviously the predominantly this is an American podcast, but we have an international audience. Just explain the difference between a misdemeanor and a felony. From my understanding, felony is very serious, potential going to prison. Misdemeanor, kind of more of a slap on the wrist, maybe you get a little fine, nothing to really worry about.
Right. So yeah, felony can like extremely affect like your jobs in the future. You know, like this is something you always have to answer a question for. Most misdemeanors, like you said, get swept under the carpet. This, I think, is even lower with a citation, which essentially amounts to like a drinking in public ticket or a speeding fine. Like that's what a citation is. As long as they can write it on a piece of paper and fine you for it, it's not that big of a deal.
So he's very lucky then. So it sounds like for the most part, all he's got to deal with is a bit of embarrassment. You know what I mean? I want to know the full story, but Brian, what do you think?
It's hard to imagine Chael losing his shit. Like this guy, remember Wanderlei Silva getting in his face? He's like, I can't let you get too close. Like he never lost his temper. He's not a bad tempered guy. So someone must have done something really annoying. That's a kind of, I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, because it's not like John Jones where we've got a body of evidence to look at this guy being a tool. Like, Jail, everyone says what a good professional guy he is. So, and apparently there's like five people involved with that he's had it. He slapped them up or something like that.
Yeah,
so,
Well, that was hilarious. What you text me on WhatsApp said, you see this Chael and five guys, and you're like, yeah, not the burger joint, but no, you're right. He's because I work with him now and again on ESPN. We've worked together many times over the years. He's very level-headed. He has his shit together. He's not a drinker. You know, he's just not that guy. He doesn't fit the bill. So yeah. I said yesterday, and of course I'm assuming, and people might say, oh, you're jumping to the defense of your friend. The only reason I see this going is if something happened, like maybe they said something inappropriate to his wife, you know, something like that. And then obviously he says, what the fuck, whatever. And then it escalates from there. That's how I see it in my mind. But still, it's fucking embarrassing nonetheless.
Yeah. So I love Chael, but I like literally he's in my top five guys in terms of who I watch. And one of my favorite all time UFC fighters, along with yourself. The idea of anything bad happening to this guy, I hate it. So I really hope that he has like the perfect story behind this. And Chael is one of the best storytellers around. So everyone's just waiting for that video to come up.
Everyone's waiting for that YouTube video, exactly. Because he's got to say it. He's got
to
say it.
Yeah. But he's given so much shit to John Jones for being arrested. John comes out and goes, and John has the perfect line to be fair to him. As much as I would side with Chael, he goes, I'm not like you. So I'm not going to hammer you for this. And it's like, oh, fuck.
Did John say that?
Yeah, John was like, I'm better than you. So I'm not lowering myself while you're down. And it's like, oh, you've given John fucking Jones the last laugh. This is a nightmare.
Oh, it really is.
So I have the quote here. Chael Sonnen, I'm not going to sit here and celebrate you getting battery charges against a female last night. That would make me like you, and I'm nothing like you. Instead, I will wish your family well. I wish the victim's family well. He followed up. It's funny, the people who criticize and judge you the most have the most.
Hold on. Who is this talking?
John Jones.
Yeah. This is Jones. Okay.
It's funny how the people who criticize and judge you have the most nastiest things in their closet. Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. You'll get no stones from me. Good luck.
Fuck off with the Bible shit. Come on, you don't have to do that. Listen, you're a piece of shit. We all know it. I'm just kidding, John. But, because that's exactly what I thought of when I saw, because I was laying in bed yesterday morning, right? I don't know, you start your day, my wife brings me a coffee, I sit there, I scroll, you know, a little bit of social media, a little bit of scrolling going on with the news on in the background. And I'm going through and I see his tweet about Chael Sonnen. I'm like, no way. No, I just didn't believe it. Because as I said, he has his shit together. Do you know what I mean? He's very mild-mannered. He's very together. So I put his name into Google and I pressed news and boom, there it is. TMZ. Can always rely on good old TMZ. There he was with his hands behind his back, cuffed, three or four cops walking.
I feel awful. I genuinely feel bad about this because I look up to Chael and I look up to you. And to see someone who I look at as a bit of a hero going through that kind of shit, it's like, oh, I really hope this is like all explainable and he comes out with it with some credibility.
The first thing I thought though was John Jones. That's where my mind, because he has been going on at John Jones.
I don't know what it is with
John
Jones. He fucking hammers this guy.
He hates him.
Every video, I watch almost every Chael video. At some point, he'd be like, and that's why John Jones is the biggest. Like, how do you keep fitting this in here? It's amazing.
Oh, never misses an opportunity. Nah. I know. And then I just thought, if it's anything that Jones can use, you know he's going to do it many times. Yep. But there, Jones being the bigger man. Well, Chael, I hope everything now gets fixed. I mean, he works for Disney, so that's not a good look. ESPN are owned by Disney, do you know what I mean? So, you know, he might have a few questions to answer there. But it sounds like with just the citations, maybe a little bit of a fine, it's just realistically now just the embarrassment of it. Because, you know, there it is.
Yeah, there he goes, with the shirt around his sort of.
Hold on, there he is.
Doesn't look good, does it? It looks like he's a maniac.
Yeah, you got the shirt. Yeah, because that could have been, he could have been very tame. He hasn't touched a glass of alcohol. He hasn't done anything. He's been, you know, he went to church that morning. He did everything perfect. But then you get into a fight with five guys, you're going to have your shirt pulled off you. It's just embarrassing at his age. I don't know what he is. He's got to be 43, something like that. It's not too bad.
What I was happy about, though, most importantly, he got the better of them. That, I love that. Yes, he won.
Hey, five guys, that's pretty good.
BJ Penn get chinned in the street. It wasn't that, that was hard for me to take.
Do you know what? Much respect to Chael Sonnen. He's saving face for the MMA. We've got Tyrone Woodley getting fucking knocked out of Jake Paul. We've got BJ getting beaten up outside bars, drug. At least Chael Sonnen is going to hold it down for the UFC fraternity. Yes, Chael. Fucking God save Chael. That's what I say.
You need to send him down to the fucking, where's it, Louisiana for that Broad Street bitch.
Yeah, the Bourbon Street bitch.
Yeah.
I'm setting Chael Sonnen on you. Oh, my God. Harrington, what else you got, buddy?
All right. Well, this is an interesting one. Speaking of civilians trying to play MMA, we have two Brazilian politicians who decided to settle the score on whatever their local governing beef may have been inside of the octagon. I mean, is this like, are we going back to the days of trial by combat and government?
I you keep putting this in the notes, right? He's tried putting this in for the last three shows now, Brian, and I've seen it in the notes every time, and I've stayed away from it every time, and I forgot to say don't talk about it. But there we go. So these are two politicians in Brazil, don't like each other. Wow. Apparently
they're in better shape than Boris Johnson, that's a damn sure. Fucking hell,
bit in better shape than fucking Derek Lewis.
Maybe instead of having wars, we should just send our leaders into a cage and say, yeah, you lot sort it out, and then we'll fucking watch.
I tell you what, though, this is a better fight than Jake Paul and Tyrone Woodley. It fucking is. At least they're having a go. They're getting stuck in. They're swinging. God. There's a bit of aggression. The crowd's going wild.
Did you see the NFL player and the NBA player fight before Jake?
I didn't know. I didn't. Yeah. But
it wasn't bad. It considering they were non-fighters coming from a different sport, it was all right. It was entertaining. You know what I mean? Right. If nothing else.
So. Hey, you know what? Sometimes, you know, if there's two guys that are evenly matched, they don't have to have the best skill. Well, just as we saw there, as long as they've got the cardio to keep going for a bit and they're willing to have a go, you know, unlike those two in the main event. But, you know, just on that, I was going to say before, I heard from Woodley's manager that if the first fight that they had, if it would have got 800,000 buys, he was looking at about $7 million. And I don't know what they got for that, but he would have got somewhere near to that. And I'm assuming for the second one, he probably got something similar as well. So God bless him. I'm very happy for him. He's probably, let's say, conservatively made $10 million there, right at the tail end of his fight career.
Yeah.
Woodley's still talking about fighting. He said, I'm going to have four different styles of martial art next year. I think he should just take his money and say thank you and do something else now.
Weirdly, Jake and him have made a bit of a friendship there, and I think there's some respect there now. And I think Jake's going to try and look after him, get him on his undercard in future fights. But the thing about Jake Paul, just to finish on that, is 3 years ago, he hadn't had a pro boxing fight. He fought some YouTube kid in an amateur fight with head guards on. I think he had his first pro fight end of 2019. Like, so basically, he's had just over 2 years of pro boxing. So for him to knock out Tyrone Woodley cold like that, as much as people are sitting there and having a go at the general level of the fight, and I completely agree, it wasn't a good fight to watch. But if you'd said to any MMA fan, that little blonde, you know, Disney Channel YouTuber, Jake Paul, is going to sleep Tyrone Woodley when he started his career in boxing, when Tyrone Woodley was the UFC welterweight champion of the world, had just demolished Darren Till, we would have laughed in your face.
Yep.
So I got to give credit to Jake Paul.
100% major credit, because I'll tell you this. Here's another thing. He's knocked out everybody that he's faced, right? Mm. He knocked out Tyrone Woodley, Ben Askren, Nate Robinson.
We stopped Gibb, who's my mate. Yeah.
Right, he stopped him. And I'll tell you what, that knockout of Woodley there, what did I have? Well, I've had about 40 professional MMA fights, boxing fights, kickboxing fights. I've never slept anyone like that. Do you know what I mean?
He's got power. But it's a technique that he needs to work on, for sure.
Yeah, but that comes with time. All right, Harrington, come on. Make it a good one. What do we have? All right, push the button again. There we go. Third time lucky.
Yeah, Brian and I were pushing the button at the same time, so it was like a little like a Tom and Jerry gag there.
It's like when, do you ever have this, if you're in a car? I don't know. Do you have kids, Brian?
Hello, are you talking to me?
Yeah, do you have kids?
No, mate. Sorry.
Right. My kids.
Sorry, there's two Brians. I got confused.
Yeah, no, my bad. He always puts like the back window down a little bit, and it, you know that weird sound that it does with the fucking air? Do you know what I'm talking about at all? If in the back of the car, you put the window down a little bit, and it's just horrible. I can't stand it. I'm like, put that fucking window up. And they try and do it, and I try and do it at the same time, and the noise continues.
I've seen you wrestling with your son the other day, and I'm like, this guy's giving you a fucking run for your money. Like, he's a strong boy.
You see the size of him? See the size of him?
He's a beast. I remember him from when he ran into the ring and you had him up like this, this little guy on your shoulder in the UK after you'd won a fight. And now I'm like, this guy's a problem. We could get him in the UFC.
He's a big old lump, is what he is. Yeah, no, I came in Saturday night, walked in, they're all sitting there. We have a glass of wine, and of course, the motherfucker starts wrestling. My wife got it on tape, so good stuff.
No, but when you're wrestling, though, it gets tasty. I was enjoying it.
Mate, you want to see? The problem is now he is too big, and he can wrestle like fuck. Do you know, he's on a wrestling scholarship. That's what he does. That's his sport.
How weird is that? That you're the thing that everyone has.
I hated wrestlers.
In the Ultimate Fighter, the Matt Hamill thing, you can't handle wrestlers. And now you've created a beast of a wrestler.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. What a funny way. Oh, here we are. And then you'll see at the end, and you're like, we do okay for a bit. He says I'm super awkward because I'm not a wrestler. It's like if you're boxing a boxer that doesn't know what they're doing, they're awkward. He's like, Dad, what are you doing? What is this? What are these weird? He's like, you can't do knees. I'm like, well, fucking don't let me put you in a tie clinch, you know? And then he throws me around here.
This is the thing about you, Mike, is you're actually deceptively a big guy. Like, you know, you're a middleweight. And when I met you, I remember thinking, fucking hell, you're a big guy. Like, I didn't realize how big you are. So your son, he must be every bit of 6'2", 6'3".
Yeah, he's pushing 6'3", and he's like 230 right now. But he's on the Peloton bike as we speak.
Did you say 230?
Yeah, 230. Wow. Yeah. He's a big old lump. But he's going to wrestle at 197. So he's on a major... Fucking just like I am when I said at the start of the show, I'm on a diet, I'm doing this. He is going hardcore because when wrestling season starts or when he has his first match, if he misses weight, then he loses his scholarship. I'm like, son, you better get on that fucking Peloton because he had meniscus surgery, so he can't run, you know. But anyway, there we go. Enough about that. All right, let's just take a second to hear from Hemp Fusion. Listen, there's a lot of CBD companies out there. Everywhere you look, CBD this, CBD that. But there's good CBD and there's bad CBD. And there's excellent CBD, and that is where Hemp Fusion comes in. Truly organic. Non-GMO, right? And the quality of the CBD, that's what's important. And of course, we got a great price because we have a fantastic offer that's going to give you 25% off and free shipping. But I want to tell you real quick about the sleep support. An important night's sleep is essential. I used to take a product called ZQuil. It would knock me out, but when I woke up in the morning, I was so groggy and it would ruin my day. The sleep support blends 10 milligrams of CBD, terpenes, omega, GABA, black pepper, and clove oil. And together, they release what they call the entourage effects, working together to deliver powerful benefits that equal well-rounded sleep. So whether you're up late with the kids, pets, existential dread, you can turn to sleep support and get the rest that you need to handle anything that comes your way. And of course, happy holidays. We got 25% off when you use the code COUNT. Go to hempfusion.com. Use the promo code COUNT. 25% off and free shipping. Okay. Where were we? Harrington, what have you got, bud?
So I thought this was super interesting. Brett Okamoto had a sit down with Habib about like a week ago, and he asked him, right? Charles Oliveira, right? He got the win over Dustin Poirier. Now he's got the win over Michael Chandler for the belt. He's defended it once. He asked him if he goes through and he beats Justin Gaethje and he beats Islam Makhachev and really cleans up that division, is there a chance Khabib comes back to fight Charles Oliveira? Khabib said, absolutely not. If that happens, I will say that was Khabib's time and now it is Charlie Oliveira's time as the number one in the world. Absolutely no interest in coming back for a legacy fight. Do you think that's true?
Yeah, listen, and I don't think that's shocking at all. Khabib's a man of honor, right? He's had his career. It was unbelievable. He retired undefeated. He retired as the champion. He's made a ton of money. He's respected all over the world, and he's got tremendous amounts of business opportunities at his fingertips. His mother wanted him to retire. His father passed away due to COVID. There's so much going on, and I think people just need to stop fucking asking him. Do you know what I mean? It's not surprising to me that he said no. And I love the fact that he gave Charles his respect. He said that is the, if that was the Khabib era, that is the Olive era. You know, come on. What do you say, Bri?
I'm a bit disappointed, but I don't have a problem with it at all. It's just like, if we're going to talk about Khabib in GOAT terms, whether he was or he wasn't in terms of talent, in terms of the wins he had, there's no way we can ever put him there, because it's just such a short window of a championship run. Like, he beat some great guys, but he hung the gloves up so soon. I mean, when you compare what he did, you can make a case that even BJ Penn, you know, you could argue in terms of the lightweight division. I'm just saying you could make that argument, but
but BJ gets overlooked all the time, right? He should be in the running.
BJ wasn't even anywhere near as big as Khabib. Like, in terms of the people he was fighting, he went up to fight GSP. The guys,
he fought fucking Lyoto Machida in Pride, I think.
Yeah,
or something like that.
When I compare Khabib to John Jones to GSP to Anderson Silva, the body of work just isn't there in terms of, you know, the longevity. And I also subscribe to this idea that if you don't lose a fight, like, did you really challenge yourself enough? Like, we've seen John Jones hesitate like fuck in terms of going to heavyweight. We've seen Khabib not move up. And I kind of prefer people who are willing to risk it all and lose, personally.
Yeah. Absolutely. You've got to dare to be great. That's why I'm talking about Usman going up to 185, because that is a fight that we want to see. And I totally agree with everything you said. I say it all the time. I even had Ali Abdelaziz, Khabib's manager, come at me and fucking, not in a nice, respectful way, just shot me a little message, you know, because I said he retired too soon. Same thing. He was unbelievable. He had a great run. He beat some fantastic fighters.
In boxing, in MMA, can we talk about in GOAT terms and say, 3 title defenses. I'm sorry, but that is minute compared to like some of the greats.
Anderson, GSP, John Jones went on these crazy runs. I mean, who else? I mean, Randy Couture back in the day maybe deserves an honorable mention. I mean, there's a lot of good people, you know. So, yeah, but I'm just not surprised. Listen, I think everyone just needs to stop asking him. He's like, listen, I'm retired. I did my bit. I've got money in the fucking bank.
It just feels weird, though. As a fan of him, it's like, we want more. We want to. I felt like his last fight was his best fight. Gaethje, he made look so easy. And Gaethje's a real problem for everyone else.
I mean,
maybe he's done the right thing for him and good luck to him. But I wish
he's got Eagle Fights now. He's got bloody his own fight promotion. They've just signed Kevin Lee. Any ideas on the opponent for him, Harrington? Is there any news on that? Because, fair play to him. You know, he's making big moves. Khabib has some very well-off, financially capable people around him. You know, he gifted Dana White $1 million watch. You know what I mean? When you're doing that, when you're making those type of moves, you know, come on, $1 million watch, like it's nothing. Boom, there you go. Have that.
Dude, that's like, awesome. So tell me this, is that like the promoter tax, right? Like, hey, I'm coming into your territory for a show. Here's $1 million watch to show you we're still friends.
Yeah. We're not competition. We're all boys. Yeah, does Kevin Lee, any word of a possible opponent?
There is a slight rumor out there that they are trying to bring in Diego Sanchez for a bout with Kevin Lee in like March or February.
Of course, because crazy Diego went his separate ways with the UFC after that fucking mental nonce of a coach that he had. I am so fucked. What was he called? Jacob? What was his name? He was a nonce. He was a dickhead. I'm glad he's gone. I'm glad I don't have to deal with him anymore. Thank God. All right. Well, listen, Brian, we've kept you for a while here. We'll let you get on with your life.
It was Joshua Faber.
Joshua Faber. There we go. What does the rest of the week look like for you, Brian? Have you got all your... We'll do some questions in a minute to finish off. You got any plans for the week?
I've got a couple of podcasts coming out. I did a podcast with Dorian Yates, the champion bodybuilder from the UK. Talking about his career, his wins, and also some conspiracy stuff, which I enjoyed.
Interesting. Dorian Yates, I saw a quote from him on one podcast once, and it was great. He was talking about how you have to, when you're lifting weights, you have to let the muscle recover before you lift again. Have you seen this clip I'm talking about? And absolutely. He likened it, the comparison he gave is if you cut yourself and you got a scab, right? And you get a piece of sandpaper and you scrub it again, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. He said, your muscles are like that. You're going to work them. You know, that causes micro damage, you know what I mean? And that's how they grow back stronger. But you got to let them heal before you work them again, because otherwise it's just going to be like that little cut on your wrist. I don't even know if I'm explaining that right, but it was something like
You've
that.
Nailed it. You absolutely nailed it. He does the HIIT training, which obviously is like intense as well. I've trained with him once. It was hell on earth. Like, I didn't realize bodybuilding training could be anything like fight training. But he had like an MMA fighter's mentality with bodybuilding. He was an absolute beast.
So when he's bodybuilding, what kind of, because you obviously lift a lot of weights yourself, Brian, right?
I used to. I do like once a week now.
Right. Get out of town. Once a week?
Yeah, but
I don't believe you.
I used to do like lots of heavy weights and powerlifting, and now I'm doing boxing. So it's like kind of trying to run away from what I used to do.
If I don't lift weights for a week, I feel myself getting soft. Do you know? You know when you touch yourself, you're like, oh, I used to be kind of hard. Like I did shoulders and biceps this morning. I touched that thing's fucking rock hard. You know what I'm saying? if I give it a week, I'm like, oh, it's a little
rock hard.
It's a little jelly like.
I've got like quite big arms.
You got massive arms.
I don't train arms. I train chest and back, but I feel like I hit them so hard that I can't be asked to train my arms afterwards.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, Brian, then, so we'll let you get out of here. Obviously, it's Christmas week, so we appreciate the time, Brian. We really do really, really enjoy talking to you as well. Finish off with some questions. I don't know what we have, but if you have any questions, we like the video questions, everybody. Send them into bympod@gmail.com. Funnier the better, the more original the better. And just on video, it's a little bit better than text. We're getting a lot of text questions. You all own fucking mobile phones. Look, I'm going to record a video. Hey, Michael, blah, 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 blah. Done. bympod@gmail.com.
Oh, real quick, before we get to that, can I just say, if you are a fan, I'm sorry, supporter of this show, if you're listening on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure that you subscribe to the show and please leave, you know, rating, five-star rating and a positive review, whatever service you're listening to. If you're checking it out on YouTube, hit that follow button and make sure you click the notifications button so you know every time a new episode drops. And if you want to catch 300 episodes you can't find anywhere else, head on over to gasdigitalnetwork.com and use the promo code BYM30 to get a 30-day free trial to gasdigitalnetwork.com. You'll have uncensored, ad-free access to this show and 25 other great shows on the network.
Brian, without further ado, Brian McKay, B McKay is right, is where you follow him. Where do people follow you, True Geordie? I mean, obviously, at True Geordie podcast, but Instagram, all that stuff.
Just search True Geordie, I'll come up. But
I don't need to say that.
I'm just grateful to be on here, mate. But I really appreciate it. You have no idea. Like I've looked up to you for years.
And
you've been an inspiration to my life, Mike. You know, the fact that you've gone through so many difficult moments and come out on the other side, and now to see you doing all this content, you've gone from one of my favorite fighters to one of my favorite podcasters. So I appreciate
Thank you, mate. No, I truly appreciate that, Brian. And I really do enjoy talking to you. So hopefully get to do it in person one day and have a couple of beers. Well, we did do it in person in London a few years ago with KSI, remember?
Yeah, I remember you wrestling KSI and
throwing him around a little bit. That was fun. He's done well as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, KSI. Mate, he's killing it. He's absolutely killing
it. He's a fucking pop star these days, isn't he?
Absolutely. I mean, they're all doing, you know, it was him versus Jake at one point. That's how far Jake's come. You know, that's what people forget is like he was fighting YouTubers and now he's just knocked out Tyron Woodley. It's kind of mental.
Mental. When you put it like that, it is. Hey, fair play to the guy. Fair play. All right, Brian, what have we got? What's the first one?
All right, so Richard Schrock wants to know what your thoughts on Tony Ferguson's next matchup is going to be.
I'll let you go first, Brian. I say Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor, maybe, or somebody like that. Because
I think
Tony
that would be the move to make, wouldn't it? It would be a good fight because they've had like a little back and forth, and they're both not the people that they used to be. And I think for that reason, it would give one a springboard and one probably their walking paper. So I agree.
You're right, and it would be a good fight for McGregor as well because Ferguson is very hittable, you know what I mean? And they have had the back and forth, so they've got plenty of promotional material. They would talk a lot of shit.
He's talking about coming back in for a title shot, though. He's like, when am I fighting the champ?
No, I know. That ain't
and the champ's saying, I want that fight as well, though.
Of course he does. Of course, who doesn't want that? You want to fight the Golden Chalice. You want the lottery ticket that is Conor McGregor. You want the red panty night, 100%. But just going back to Ferguson, you know what? We've all written off Tony Ferguson. Ah, he's done. He's finished. He can't fucking do it anymore. But when you look retrospectively at the fights that he lost, Charles Oliveira, Benil Dariush, and who was the third one? They're all top tier, top notch. Who was it? Oh, Justin Gaethje. Justin Gaethje, Benil Dariush, and Charles Oliveira. There's no shame in losing to those three guys now.
But it's also the fights he wins. He takes a lot of damage in those as well. So, like, Kevin Lee with staph infection was hitting him a lot. Yeah. So, he's he's a zombie, isn't he? He just takes a lot of punishment. But, like, there's a limit on that.
Yeah, no, there is. Brian, what else we got, mate?
All right, we got one from Nick L, and it's for everyone but you. They want to know what our favorite accent that you do is.
Oh, God. Don't make me
I'm partial to Francis Ngannou.
Don't do that one. You're going to get me cancelled. you gotta be careful these days. You know what I mean? I'm just having a bit of fun doing an accent. Apparently, that's fucking... You're not supposed to do it, but yeah.
I like the time he did the accent of the American flight attendant who was fucking with him. You know, when he wouldn't let you on the plane? He wouldn't let you on the plane and he fucking really pissed you off.
No, mate. I'm good though.
So
I'm not getting into these altercations these days. 2022, I'm zen.
Chael Sonnen could have been you, Mike. That could have been you on a flight, just beating the living daylights out of this guy.
That's what I mean, though. That's what I mean, because it could have been, because I do still have that image. You know what I mean? And when I saw Chael getting carried away in fucking handcuffs, I'm like, let that be a lesson. Let that be a lesson to me, because I do not want to be on the fucking front page of TMZ. Harrington, you were going to say something.
I was going to say, I could use a Jamaican accent right about now, man.
Yeah, you can't do that. Yeah, and people told me off for that one as well, doing Jamaican accents. I'm like, come on. Do we have any video questions, Brian?
Yeah, I do. I have one here from show regular Dallas Singer.
Good old Dallas Singer.
Hey, what's up, guys? Dallas again. Got a question. Considering it's the holidays, Christmas time, got a Christmas question. Thinking back, what's the most memorable gift you've ever gotten for Christmas growing up? It's got to be something you could think back and reflect on. For me, it had to be early 90s. Me and my brother got Super Nintendo one year. Awesome gift. My dad worked his ass off that year to get it for us. We appreciate it. So appreciate him to this day for everything he did for us. Trying to do the same for my family right now. Let us know. Appreciate everything you guys do. Best gift for me this year, 2 episodes a week of the greatest MMA comedy podcast out there, BYM. Merry Christmas. Like Happy New Year, guys.
Brian. Come what on, don't you
he's
like?
Fucking you off, man.
Oh, who's this? Put that back a bit, Brian. Let's see this.
Happy New Year, guys.
Merry Christmas. What's your favorite present?
Bless
her. He's won us over. He's redeemed himself.
That is a show regular, Brian. Mate, is the good old Dallas Singer. Have a bit of respect. You're coming on from England. You're sitting in there. You call yourself the True Geordie. You're lardy down in London, you fucking sellout. Do you know what I mean? Where are you? Are you in Mayfair? Probably in a penthouse apartment in fucking Mayfair with it's a butler downstairs.
Get it right. It's in Camden. Okay. I love the question, to be fair. What I would say is, my most memorable Christmas was one of the Christmases where my family had fallen on hard times. We didn't have a lot. And as a young kid, it made me sort of realize that it wasn't about the presents and that actually I had to grow up a little bit and realize, oh, well, it's about being together and all of that. So my most memorable Christmas is the one I got the least amount of stuff because it sort of made me appreciate what I did have.
Oh, look at that. Answer. So there beautiful. Mine on the flip side was when we got the most presents. Because I'm a materialistic little prick. No, the same. You know, my mum and dad, you know, we come from a humble background. My mum and dad always did the best by us and we never really went without, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And every year, I don't know how they did it. My dad was definitely pulling some illegal moves, right? Because we always did very well at Christmas, although they were never wrapped. Presents were never, and my wife still can't believe this to this day. So I don't understand how presents are not wrapped. And like, but to me, it never bothered me because that's just the way it was. And like, in my mind, Well, there was six kids, you know what I mean? And it was hard enough buying his presents, let alone buying all the wrapping paper and stuff like that. Yep. And maybe my mum and dad were just a bit lazy. But this is, but they always did really good. And we come into the front room and there'd be different piles. The pile over there was for me. The pile by that chair was for whoever, you know what I mean? And it was just a free-for-all. In our house now on Christmas Day, obviously with the kids, you know, we come down and we take it in turns and they open. And it's very calm. And
mate, I love seeing your home movies. You know why? Because I remember hearing stories about you where you said you were sleeping. In a car outside of a gym, and yeah. Now I see you in LA living up. I'm like, yes, my guy. I fucking
well, thank you. For you, mate. Yeah, no, cheers, mate. But as I say, they open the presents one by one. It's very slow and respectful, and we all look, oh, great gift, yeah. Who got you that? Oh, make sure you send the text and say thank you, whatever. In our house when we were kids, we were like mad fucking just a fucking papers going up in the fucking air, stuff getting, you know. Unboxed, broken in no time whatsoever. But best gift to answer the question, I would say Sega Mega Drive. When I got the Sega Mega Drive, that was pretty epic.
Did you have Sonic? Although,
yep, exactly. Got it with Sonic. Although I didn't get it on Christmas Day because they didn't have it in stock, so we had to wait. But a few weeks later, we did get it in like mid-January. The parents watched, and the rest of the family watched Silence of the Lambs because that just came out. We rented it from Ritz Video or Blockbuster. I think it was Ritz back then. Ritz Video, rented it from there. They all watched that. I was Sonic the Hedgehog away.
It's such a good Christmas feel-good movie, isn't it? Clarice.
Do the lambs still scream, Clarice?
That's a very good impression, by the way. Most people do like Elf or you know, whatever. We're doing Silence of the Lambs. Oh, you know, it's a Bisping household. You got a fucking...
Honestly, there's nothing that says Christmas like an inmate throwing his cum load on a woman's face as she walks past the fucking...
Oh, God. Brilliant. Well, I guess on that note, we'll end this here. That was absolutely fantastic, Brian. Hope we can do it again sometime. Thank you. On behalf of myself, everyone that watches the show, Brian and Mike, we appreciate you. We really do. Thank you, mate. And Merry Christmas, I guess.
I'd like to end by saying conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up.
Perfect way to sign out. Thank Brian, you're the man. Thank you very much.